From the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Monday, August 24th. I'm Abby Larico. Today, more drama out of the sheriff's office, why the road to campaign finance reform wound through St. Louis, and how do you get a sea lion to go to the dentist? This isn't the setup to a joke, it's a real question that caretakers at the St. Louis Zoo have had to ask. Turns out some animals can be trained to complete their medical tasks.
We have to get creative and think outside the box of how we can care for our animals.
The wild and wonderful healthcare at the zoo, coming up on The Gateway. A white former police officer convicted of murdering an unarmed black woman in her Springfield, Illinois area home has died in prison. Sean Grayson was battling stage 4 rectal cancer that had spread to his liver and lungs. The former sheriff's deputy was serving a 20-year sentence for fatally shooting Sonia Massey 2 years ago after she had called 911 to her home for help. In a statement, Massey's cousin, Shadia Massey, celebrated the news. She says her family can, quote, start our grieving process. Most of us have had no time to grieve. Civil rights attorney Ben Crump, who worked with the Massey family, says Grayson's death doesn't bring Sonia back and that, quote, she should be alive today. Grayson had requested an early release from prison on account of his cancer diagnosis. Last month, a state panel unanimously denied that request. A newly completed investigation finds the former St. Louis sheriff discriminated against employees last year. STLPR's Andrea Henderson has details from the U.S. Equal Employment Opportunity Commission findings.
The EEOC says former Sheriff Alfred Montgomery targeted and fired 13 employees in January 2025 because of their race and age. The agency also says his conduct violated the Civil Rights Act of 1964 and the Age Discrimination in Employment Act. Lauren Sierra is an attorney with Jungle Law. She represents 5 employees who worked for the sheriff's office for decades. Sierra says they filed civil lawsuits against the office in June, seeking financial compensation for the terminations.
None of them deserved for this to happen. So I think that this is actually going to give them the fuel they need to keep moving forward with that process.
The Sheriff's Department denies the allegations, but did participate in a conciliation process with the EEOC. I'm Andrea Henderson, St. Louis Public Radio.
The mayor of Delwood has died. A statement from the city of Delwood gave no cause of death for Reggie Jones. Delwood remembers Jones, though, as a dedicated public servant. He was elected mayor in 2013 and helped the city make some economic strides. The city has not yet announced either transition plans or funeral arrangements for Jones. A new proposed charter school would be the first to open in the region served by the Riverview Gardens School District. As STLPR's Hiba Ahmed reports, the school is projected to open in August of 2027.
The North County Innovation School is a new charter school with a focus on literacy, STEM, and the social-emotional well-being of students. It will serve kindergarten through second grade its first year, and it plans to add a grade level each year up to eighth grade. It would be the second charter school to open in North County, but the first that is located within the boundaries of the Riverview Gardens School District. The district has seen a hollowing out of families with school-aged children over the last decade, leading to the closure of one of its elementary schools earlier this year. The new school still requires a final stamp of approval from the Missouri State Board of Education, which is expected to happen this fall. I'm Hiba Ahmed, St. Louis Public Radio.
Explore St. Louis's ex-president has been named to the board that forced her out. County Executive Sam Page named Kitty Ratcliffe to the Regional Convention and Visitors Commission, along with 2 other new members. Ratcliffe previously served as the president of Explore St. Louis from 2006 to 2024. She retired after members of the commission criticized her for poor employee morale, low sales, and an over-budget expansion of St. Louis's downtown convention center. Ratcliffe retired not long after that criticism came to light, receiving an incentive package upon retiring estimated at up to $500,000. She'll begin serving on the commission immediately. Page also named Blackjack Councilwoman Rochelle Walton Gray and Merit's Global Events CEO Steve O'Malley to the board. St. Louis officials hope a new bucket of funding will help owners of affordable rental housing repair properties and avoid demolitions following last year's tornado. As STLPR's Kayvon Mansouri reports, this comes as more than 55% of FEMA applications have come from renters.
The city's Affordable Housing Commission is seeking applicants for a $5 million program that will repair rentals damaged during the EF3 tornado last year in North City. The funds come from the $255 million in RAM settlement funds allocated by Mayor Kara Spencer and the Board of Aldermen toward pressing issues in the city. About half of those funds are designated for North St. Louis. The city seeks low to moderate income rental units that were damaged during the tornado. Unlike the city's assistance for homeowners, this program has no cap on funding for rental repairs. Additional funding for the program may be available depending on the number of requests received. I'm Kayvon Mansouri, St. Louis Public Radio.
New research from a St. Louis labor advocate shows that there's an acute need for support for friends and coworkers of those who die by suicide. John Gall is chief learning officer for the St. Louis Building Trades Wellness Coalition and says there's a high rate of suicide in the construction industry, and trained peer support is the best way to help survivors.
The state of Missouri has a Missouri Credentialing Board that has a proper certification program for peer specialists. And we really try to move our peers who volunteer to take this position to move in that direction.
Gall was a guest on St. Louis on the Air. If you or someone you know is in crisis, call or text 988 to reach the Suicide and Crisis Lifeline. A Democratic senator from Michigan made a stop in St. Louis to advocate for campaign finance overhaul. And as St. Louis Public Radio's Jason Rosenbaum reports, Alyssa Slotkin is hoping that voters are attracted to ideas to make major changes to the system.
Slotkin was in St. Louis last week for an event by Stand Up America and End Citizens United. Part of her message to Democrats is that the party needs to get behind major changes to campaign finance laws, including curtailing corporate participation in elections. Slotkin says the current system with easily circumventable limits breeds voter cynicism.
Until you start fundamentally changing the system so that big sums of money can't just be dumped on a campaign, the rest is more or less window dressing.
While changing the federal campaign finance system may be difficult to accomplish with a GOP president, advocates for an overhaul say that individual states could adopt their own rules. I'm Jason Rosenbaum, St. Louis Public Radio.
Grove Fest isn't happening this year. Park Central Development organizes the annual festival in the Grove Entertainment District, which is in the Forest Park Southeast neighborhood of St. Louis. It said in a statement that it's stepping back to reorganize the event and ensure that it continues to serve its goals moving forward. Drew Jameson is managing partner for Atomic by Jammo, one of the bars organizing a bar crawl that will take the festival's place this year. He says the coronavirus pandemic and businesses closing have all contributed to a different neighborhood.
The spirit of Grove Fest had maybe just changed in when it was at its highest and most impactful meaning for everybody, guests, merchants, and overall city impact. It was actually celebrating the bars.
The crawl will take place October 3rd. And speaking of closures in the Grove, a beloved St. Louis staple that served a fusion of Nepalese, Indian, and Korean cuisine for the last 22 years has closed its doors. St. Louis Public Radio's Lucretia Wimley visited the Everest Cafe and Bar as co-owners Connie and Devi States said farewell to their customers.
Patrons come and go as the last day of business comes to a close. Sarah Stromsdorfer says she and her husband have been eating at Everest Cafe for 13 years and even had one of their first dates there. She says the cafe also catered her sister-in-law's wedding several years ago.
I think it's so unique. Here, there's just nothing like it, where it's the Himalayan and the Korean fusion, and you come here over lunch if you want to get something healthy or if you want to just eat a lot.
Everest Cafe owners say the business has struggled to keep staff after the pandemic. They say it's been an honor serving fresh, heart-healthy meals to customers. I'm Lucretia Wembley, St. Louis Public Radio.
Classes start today at Missouri University of Science and Technology, but as STLPR's Jonathan All reports, it'll be without a certain techie foodie favorite around campus.
For the past 3 years, the sidewalks of Missouri S&T were home to the automated delivery robots that brought food from the dining halls to anywhere on campus. But Starship, the company that ran the machines, ended their campus programs to focus on residential delivery. Tony Hine is with Chartwells, the company that runs S&T's food service. He says the six-wheeled microwave-sized robots will be missed.
Having robots sit around campus was cool. I mean, what a neat experience to see those. which is also one of the reasons we're determined to find a replacement as soon as we can.
But Hines says considering the technology, programming, and mapping that will have to be done, it's not likely a new robot delivery service will be in place this school year. In Rolla, I'm Jonathan Aul, St. Louis Public Radio.
Getting to the dentist or the doctor is necessary, but often inconvenient for us humans. Now imagine if you lived at the zoo. From dental x-rays, ultrasounds, to CT scans, St. Louis Zoo experts work to not only ensure the health of an individual animal, but also its entire species. STLPR's Anison Krebs-Carr reports.
Hello. When's the last time you went to the dentist? 6 months? A year? Even two? Well, Ella knows her answer. It was just last week.
All the things that we do to care for ourselves, we do it here as well for our animals.
That's Regina Masati, Vice President of Animal Care. She says the zoo follows extensive animal care protocols. And that's no matter whether they're caring for bigger creatures like elephants or smaller friends like prairie dogs.
I think they have better health care than me because they've got a team of multiple animal health veterinarians and vet techs. They have their entire keeper team. And then we have an entire nutrition team that's taking care of them.
She says part of that care is closely following an animal's needs through different stages of its life.
You have a 250-pound, 25-year-old man versus an 80-year-old, 110-pound woman, right? They have different needs, different exercise needs, different nutritional needs, care. That's how we look at our animals. Like, what is it that you need at your certain stage of life?
A major part of the zoo's care program is its preventive health care plan. Just like humans get annual checkups or wellness exams, so do animals at the St. Louis Zoo. Carrie Musgrave is the director of animal health at the zoo and leads its team of 17 animal health professionals. The keeper and animal health teams work together to train animals to complete many medical tasks voluntarily. With a bucket of fish and just a few commands, a sea lion will lie down and open its mouth long enough to get imaging of its teeth. Sea lions are also prone to eye problems, so keepers also train them to receive eye drops. They do this even before the sea lions have issues, so that they can be treated right away if something comes up.
And you can imagine if you've never had an eye drop put in your life and have no idea what's going on, if they weren't trained for that and they had a problem, it'd be really scary and we wouldn't be able to treat them very well.
Musgrave says training animals to participate voluntarily in medical tasks depends on both the species and the individual animal. She says an animal can pick up behaviors faster if they start training young. Still, it can take months. Other trained animals at the zoo include elephants, polar bears, alligators, birds, and even Charlie, the Komodo dragon.
These are examples of how we have to get creative and think outside the box of how we can care for our animals in a way that is fun for them, that's engaging for them, and where, again, they get to voluntarily participate in their own health care.
But animal care at the zoo isn't just for the animal's health. It's for the health and survival of the entire species.
Zoos are literally on the front lines of conservation. We are the experts out there in how animals behave and what their care is, how to breed them and help, you know, potentially release them back out into the wild.
The St. Louis Zoo participates in a species survival plan program. The program is made up of institutions across the country that look at zoos' animal populations and ensure they stay healthy. Masati says they are actively working to release some of their animals back out into the wild by breeding and raising them. No matter the road to conservation, part of those efforts is simply keeping animals healthy while they're at the zoo.
Good. All right, Ellie. Let's get out of here. Let's go.
I'm Anison Krebs-Carr, St. Louis Public Radio.
Our Jonathan Aul edited that piece. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri, St. Louis. Music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'm Abby Larico, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, thanks for listening to The Gateway. Have a great Monday.